You're listening to National Geographic World Talk. I'm Patty Kim. Most of us take the language we speak for granted, but experts estimate that roughly every 2 weeks, somewhere in the world, a different language dies. And when the world loses a language, it also loses culture, traditions, and a way of life. Well, my next guest, David Harrison, is a linguist at Swarthmore College who's working very hard to preserve endangered languages around the world. He's documented the existence of an obscure Siberian language that was long believed extinct, and he's also investigating other languages with fewer than 40 fluent speakers each. David Harrison joins me now on the line from his office in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania, to tell us more. David, it's great to have you with us.
Thanks for inviting me.
You know, David, we think of extinction, or the word extinction, and we tend to think of species extinction, plants, animals, physical things, but languages can go extinct as well. Tell me, how many languages are lost in the world every year?
Well, first we need to know how many languages there are, and we don't know the exact number, but we think it's close to 7,000 languages.
7,000 languages on the planet?
Yes, and of course most of those are very small, so most of those languages would have something like 3,000 speakers or fewer, and many of them, of course, are in remote locations. But it's not true that you have to go to a remote location to find an endangered language. So, for example, I'm near Philadelphia right now, and there was a Native American language spoken right here on this area called Lenape. And Lenape, the Lenape people were eventually moved to Oklahoma, and there were speakers as recently as 10 years ago, 1995. But in the interim, since 1995 to now, those last speakers have died. And so languages are going extinct, not only in remote places like Siberia, where I do most of my research, but really right in our own backyard.
Wow, that's amazing. What causes a language to disappear? What is sort of the key factor?
Well, people give up speaking it. And the reason people give up speaking a language, and this is a decision that's usually made by children, by the way, is that they sense that it has a lower status or that it is socially dispreferred. Children are like little barometers of social standing, and they understand if there are two languages spoken in their community, they understand that one of them is viewed by the community as being better or more useful, and so children will make this decision to switch over to speaking the dominant language. And once the children in a community make that decision, it tends to be irreversible, and so they will grow up speaking the dominant language, and their children will not speak the ancestral language anymore.
That's kind of a sad thing, isn't it?
Well, it's a little bit sad. Now, some people, of course, would argue that this is a good thing, that people want to get ahead in the world and get ahead in society. They should speak the dominant language. But I guess what's sad is that bilingualism, it doesn't have to be a trade-off, because the human brain is perfectly capable of speaking two languages or even three languages. In fact, that's the norm. Most of the world's population is bilingual. And so it's not true that you have to give up one language in order to use another one.
You know, a moment ago you said that we're losing languages right in our own backyard, right here in the United States. But is there a pattern that you're seeing? Are there certain parts of the planet that are more vulnerable than others, say, to losing languages? Is this happening just evenly everywhere? Or are there really some areas where languages seem to be dying out faster than in other regions?
There are definitely areas. So the first thing to point out is that languages are not evenly distributed around the globe geographically. So if you put 7,000 dots on a world map to show where the languages are, you would instantly notice that they cluster together. So you get areas of intense diversity. So the Northwest United States, Oregon, Washington State, and then up into British Columbia is what we would call a language hotspot. Oaxaca State in Mexico is another language hotspot. So there are zones around the globe where you have an incredible amount of diversity. And then there are areas where you have very low diversity. So Western Europe, for example, even though it has quite a few languages, French and Spanish and German and English, it has very low diversity of languages overall.
I'm wondering about the rate that these languages are disappearing at? Are they disappearing faster today than they did in the past? Or are we just more aware of it now and able to document that loss?
Well, that's a good question. We don't know too much about the historical patterns, but as best we can tell, the rate of extinction is accelerating, and we also think it's probably unprecedented in human history. So there hasn't been a time in human history where so many languages disappeared so quickly.
Really? And what do you think is causing that?
Well, if I had to sum it up in a word, I would say globalization.
Our favorite word.
Yeah, but you know, I can explain a little bit. So one trend that we see in globalization is that people all over the world are tending to migrate into urban centers. So we have urbanization, and an urban environment is not a good environment for small languages to survive in generally. So the most favorable factor for a small language is to be isolated. So if its speech community lives on an island or they live in a remote part, they can usually hang on to their language a little bit more. When they go into a kind of urban melting pot, there are pressures against the language. And so as people move to urban centers and as big global languages extend their reach through media, small languages are disappearing.
It's interesting what you say. So I sort of relate to it on a personal level because my sister-in-law, she lives in Ganawage, which is a Mohawk reservation outside Montreal in Canada. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really interesting to see the pattern of who speaks the Mohawk language today. It's you've got the older generation, the grandparents say, that speak Mohawk. Then you've got this middle generation of mothers and fathers that don't, because they were sent off to schools where they were forced to speak English.
That's right.
And then you get the kids. There's a resurgence now, and the kids are learning Mohawk. They all go to Mohawk schools.
That's right.
And so it's really fascinating to see that drop in the middle. And what you say is so true. If they're encouraged to speak it, if there's an incentive to speak it, they will.
That's right. And there are some great examples now of what we call language revitalization, which is like the Mohawk case you mentioned, where the transmission of the language was interrupted for a generation. But now the very youngest generation has expressed an interest again. And so they have to go not to their own parents to learn the language, but to their grandparents' generation. And so there are a few good cases of revitalization, but mostly, I have to say, most languages, small languages, will not ultimately be revitalized. They will, their speakers will shift over to speaking globally dominant languages.
You're listening to National Geographic World Talk. I'm Patty Kim, speaking with linguist David Harrison, the author of When Languages Die, The Extinction of the World's Languages and the Erosion of Human Knowledge.